Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gavhart, and this episode is brought to you by Luxon MX. Big MX 2025 can save you 10% off your entire order at Luxon MX. You've seen the triple clamps on the Club MX racing bikes. They look amazing. They'll look great on your bike, and they'll actually make your bike handle a little bit better than it currently does. For all those reasons, head to the website and order it today. Like I said, I am your host, Brad Gavhart. With me on the line, he's a repeat offender on the podcast. In fact, I believe the first time I had him on, it was just after a Detroit Supercross, after he clipped a tough block and ended up taking the stadium floor to the skull. He is the one. He was number 99 at that time. Now he's running the 122, in your pro, likely number one in your hearts, especially if you're a big fan of those privateers that, struggle along their way and are able to stick it to the man every once in a while and put it into the main event. Fresh off a 450 main event in Tampa Bay. Goes by the name of Justin Starling. Justin, how's it going?
Oh man, it's good. It's nice to have the little monkey off our back, right? It's been a rough little bit without making mains and all that. Like a really just mentally draining year last year with everything that we dealt with the bike, and you start to wonder if like you can even do it again, right? And then you get back on the Austrian frame, and you're like, oh no, okay, like I'm still just as good. But then you still have that little bit of lack of confidence, I think, to kind of make it happen. Speed's been good since the beginning of the season, like with racing and all that. I just haven't gotten a start, and was in the hometown race this weekend, and we finally got a start in the heat race, ran fourth for a little bit, and got a little tight towards the end, but yeah, put it back into the main event. And I think, to me, like I was just telling my wife, I feel like the monkey's off my back now. So it's like, you know, that pressure of can you do it or can we even be there again is kind of just gone, and you get through the main event and you're like, hey, cool, like we did it. Now let's get back to ourselves. So I mean, yeah, going to Detroit's always been good to me. So yeah, it should be a fun rest of the season.
Yeah, the pride and joy of DeLand, Florida. When you head into some Florida rounds, whether we're at Orlando, Tampa, Daytona, do you get hit up for tickets, or do you get some locals who want to who come watch you? Like you were like an amateur phenom from a very young age. Of course, people remember the number 12 machine knocking down a lot of wins over your tenure as an amateur racer. Is there still a good community of people who remember where you came from?
Yeah, it's always fun at the home race, right? Like, even, like, Callum Brower came up to me to talk this weekend, and we kept getting interrupted by just, like, you know, the local people just being like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, it's so cool you're still doing this, or you're racing, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, it's nonstop. But, no, at the end of the day, man, it's super cool to continue doing it and then racing at your home race, or, like, hometown. Like, obviously, I'm born and raised just outside Daytona, but now I'm residing in just basically, I call it Tampa. I mean, we're 11 miles from the city, and if you go like one street up, it's the Google map says Tampa, but I'm in technically Riverview. But yeah, so this is technically my home race now. And yeah, the amount of people that ask you for tickets is pretty crazy. You know, you don't hear from these people all year, and then all of a sudden your home round comes up. Yeah. And I still, you know, gave out, I think 15 passes or so. So thanks to Feld on that, but yeah, no, it's cool. I enjoy the home race, and, you know, it was cool to, you know, as my daughter was there and everything like that. So like, you know, my first main back in some time, and to get that monkey off your back, like to have your daughter there and also be in front of your home crowd. It felt good. It felt probably better than just about any other one I've made. So that was really, really nice.
Yeah, seems like it was finally you guys headed east, and that was exactly the winds of change that you needed to put in your best performance of the year so far. And it's been a bit of a tumultuous year for you, to say the least. There was an announced partnership in the off season. People were excited about it. You teaming up with Kevin Moranz. Unfortunately, that partnership wasn't able to be a long-standing one. And it feels like within 4 weeks of Anaheim 1, you had announced that you partnering with Moto Whips were gonna, like, it was gonna be a solo effort. And kind of take us through a little bit of, and I know you've explained yourself online a number of times. For those who aren't completely aware of, like, all the ins and outs of how that sort of came together, or how that fell apart, and how this, the current program you're on, came together. Give us a little bit of the brass tacks on that.
Yeah. So, back in, I think right around Indy Supercross last year, Kevin and I have been friends for years. And
of course.
And, he was looking, like, he had an off year as well. And he was looking to get, you know, a second rider, cause he had a fill in a couple times, and I was pretty over running my program. And, I didn't want to drive anymore. I wanted to just fly in and out because, you know, I have a kid and everything. And, we kind of came up with this agreement that was really good. And it was good for me, and I had a lot of leeway to do a lot of things that I wanted to do. And, I couldn't get the deals done for it to make sense for me, right? Like, on my end, financially, like, I was going to lose money every weekend. And, I can't do that, right? Like, it just wasn't going to be possible. And, you know, I still had to pay for a mechanic and all these things. And, ultimately at the end of the day, like, my mechanic kind of decided he didn't want to be part of that. And, I was going to have to go find someone new, and this was in December, and, it was getting tough for me. And ultimately I had this OnlyFans deal sitting there, and it was, you know, it's a good bit of money. And, I wasn't allowed to take the deal, which I totally respect his reasonings, right? Like, it didn't fit his program. And, at the end of the day, I had to make a decision, you know, like, do I want to go lose money, or do I want to make money, you know? And, when you have a house and, you know, and car insurance on two vehicles and, you know, like, just normal bills,
and gotta make money,
you know, and, yeah, you know, we're 30 years old. Like, I got to make a living. Otherwise, you know, I can't get diapers and formula, and I can't take care of my kid, and, or just my life in general. And, I had to make the decision to not do it. And, as soon as I went off on my own, it was kind of crazy how many sponsors were like, oh, like, this is what we wanted to do with you. Like, this is how we wanted it to be, you know, like, we like the stuff that you've done. And, we had like 2.5 weeks until Anaheim, and I didn't ride my race bike until press day of Anaheim. So, like, we were still trying to figure the bike out. Basically, to me, it took until about Glendale, where we had a big fork change going into Glendale and some gearing change. Like, we changed a lot of things. And, going into Tampa was the first time that, well, I guess I can't really say we didn't change anything, because I actually changed the front tire, for Tampa race day. And that was like a massive bonus for me. That, so I went to the AT 82, I went from the 34. So, but we've been searching a little bit, and I kind of feel like we've found it now. Like, I feel like we're good now. And I think it showed on the weekend, you know? So, it was a tough decision. Like I said, I still don't like that I had to make the decision. He's got like a whole group of his Moran's Mafia people that definitely talked a lot on me, and still do, which is fine, dude. I don't care what people say about me. Like, they don't even know me. So, that was a little bit awkward. Definitely hurt our friendship, but, I took him out this weekend, not intentionally. So I think our friendship's pretty much tarnished now. but it is what it is. So yeah, we move on. We started a program with Moto Whips, and, we're going racing.
Okay. So let's talk about that super quick. I seen the clip on social. A little bit of a check over the shoulder and take me through it. I think maybe it's become more than it truly was.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kevin's notorious for using the lead riders to pass people. Like, it's been a thing. And, you know, as an older rider, like, you respect, you know, ask Kyle Chisholm. I've watched him literally make a pass on AC and then make that, like, let AC go back by because he made the pass because AC pulled over so far for the leaders. Right. So respect thing. And, he's never respected it. Like, I remember catching him in Indy in 23, and I caught up to his rear wheel, and I was pulling over for lappers, and I lost 15 seconds in two laps to him because he just stayed in the way. And I've heard other lead guys complain about him. Right. And I looked over thinking that he was one of the lead riders, and it was not, it was him. So I'm like, okay, like I'll break up a bit because I don't know what he's going to do. Like maybe he's going to, because Anderson was right behind us. And when I realized he was going to go around the outside, I'm like, okay, I got to block you. Like I can't just let you go around me, right? Because then I'm just going to lose that toe and it's going to be gone. Because he'll just stay in the main line with those guys. And yeah, I ran it up there and he kind of stayed in it, which I respect him to try to stay in it. But I mean, even if I was his teammate, I would have done the same thing, you know, like I wouldn't have done anything differently. But yeah, the first look back, I thought he was a lead rider. And when I realized it was him, I'm like, okay. And then like, I'm like, I broke up like thinking like, hey, he's going to come like, so who's going to come right next to me? And it was him. And I'm like, okay, dude, I got to shut the door. So, yeah. And it's weird because I didn't even feel like we hit, but I didn't feel like we hit that hard. And I don't know if like once we hit, he just wanted to be dramatic for the video and launch himself into the tough blocks or something. But because I knew it was going to be on film. As soon as it happened, I'm like, oh, here we go. His YouTube's going to be all me taking him out. And I was right.
Wow, it's just more screen time for Alias Gear, OnlyFans, MotoWips. Yeah. Like it's just screen time, man. Hey, that's you probably get some clicks for Big E down at Yoshimura. Like no bad press, right?
I've gained a lot of followers since, and that's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, I don't care. Like some people like, oh, it's so intentional, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, dude, it wasn't intentional. I just didn't want him to use a leader to pass me. So I tried to block it and we hit and shit happens. Like I expect him to come back at me, but that, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. And, you know, if that's how he wants to, if he wants to use lead riders like that, then that's a little bit low on his end. But I mean, that's what he's always done. So I guess we'll see what happens here in Detroit.
We'll leave it at that. Perfect. So, 2025 has become the year of the vented plates. We saw it in the mid 2000s. Like I always thought they were trick. They were very prevalent in the 80s back when we actually had air cooled bikes, at least the beginning of that decade. But they've made a resurgence maybe like never before. I don't know who to either blame or give responsibility for it, but like you've ran one, seemingly every Yamaha team imaginable has had one on. Like first of all, why have you been running one if you have, or when you have been running it? And, like what do you attribute the trend to? Cause like I respectfully, it looks unreal. Like when it's done right, vented plate always looks good.
Yeah, I got surprised with one in, what was it? Maybe Arizona. My mechanic built me one, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, to me, it just always looks cool. Like I never have like a certain thing with it. But no, like the Honda, or not the Honda, sorry, the Yamaha, it actually makes sense to use it. Like, cause it, the air that goes straight into the air box right there, like it airs actual power gain.
Yeah.
On the gas, it does you absolutely no good.
Just no like points.
It just looks cool, man. Like, I don't know. I think we're all just trying to look cool out there. So yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like for whatever reason, like I always loved seeing them on the Cowies back in the day, and it was just impossible to find a built one like that. I know Sycra made one for like the 2002s, but they never made it for like the 03 through 08 style of Cowie, which always bothered me. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the season so far. Bringing people together, like you have Guts Racing, you have Hinson, you have Dunlop, Alias is doing your gear. Like how do you go about being able to sort of pull all these sponsors together and be able to sort of fulfill, the sort of deals that you're able to make with them on top of training, being a dad, driving and, coordinating, mechanic work and all that fun stuff on top of, a pretty rigorous training schedule.
Yeah. So luckily I'm still not driving. The first four rounds MotoWips had his rig and then, we used my buddy's van here for Tampa because it's, you know, so close. And then now actually all my stuff is on the Rocky Mountain KTM rig, for the remainder of the season. So shout out to Jonah and all those guys for helping me get my stuff around. We're still not going to drive. That's out of the question. But no, honestly, it was pretty easy to do everything this year because it seemed like I sent one email to basically everyone I wanted to work with, and it was within a day everyone was like, oh, we're happy you're doing this. Like, thank God you're doing this. Like, this is what we wanted to see you do, or like, we kind of expected this would happen. Like, I don't know really what that meant, but they were all excited. Like, it was way easier than past years. And then when it comes to the gear, like with Alias, like, I wore Alias back in 2017 and 2018, and I loved it, right? Like, it was the best gear. Like, it looks super cool, and just, I don't know, the vibes with Grondel and everything were sweet. And for a few years now, I've hit him up like, hey, man, like, let's do something. Like, hey, can we do something? And it was never really a thing. And as soon as, you know, there was an opportunity to not, you know, like, Kevin had a team gear deal, and I was like, okay, obviously I don't have a gear deal now. So I was like, I call him and I'm like, Eric, like, this is the time, man. Like, let's do this, you know? And, he was like, give me a day to think about it. Cause it's a lot of gear, right?
Yeah.
For a company to give to a rider, for a supercross and outdoor season. So, that was, you know, something I was like, yeah, okay. I understand. Like, I'll give you your time. And, he came back the next day and he's like, yeah, let's do it. So that was pretty cool. You know, I was really excited about that. And, we've got a lot of custom stuff coming out. So I'll debut a lot of stuff that's going to drop for the company, which is really nice. It makes me feel good, right? To have, like, you know, to be able to drop that. And I'm also ultimately the only one out there in it, right? Like, James Harrington will wear it at a couple East Coast 250 rounds, but like, I'm the only guy. So I never look like anyone else. So like, to me, that's really, really nice. But no, everything came together really well. And honestly, Justin from Moto, which was, he's 95% of this thing, man. Like, he does everything. Like, he's putting this together and put this together, built the bike, and it's his bike, you know, at the end of the day for the race bike. Like, I don't own the bikes. They're not mine. And, he went from, you know, like, trying to just do a deal with, you know, working with me and the Kevin's program to, he took money out of the team's, or like the company's shop to do this. And, it's cool. It's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it. We work really well together. And, I don't know. I'm stoked, man. I love it. I think it's so much fun. Like, it might be a small program and we have stuff being hauled around in totes and stuff, and we don't have this, you know, huge luxury like set up and whatnot, but it obviously didn't really matter this past weekend. So I don't think we need it in the future.
Yeah, no, you definitely proved that to yourself, when it comes to this program. And yeah, Moto Whips is something that's sort of, they've put the time in to develop that program year over year for the better part of a decade now. I think Justin originally did some work with, Chad Watts way back in the day, like under the tutelage of a guy like, Chad, who always made some of the most badass looking engines, great looking bikes that also perform extremely well, takes that recipe, puts his own sauce on it. And, yeah, now you've got Moto Whips, and, yeah, they've been in your corner, have been in the past, and are to this day. That's gotta be a big feather in your cap. Just having the peace of mind that you've got that support, throughout this season, good bikes. Yeah, maybe they don't have your name on the title, but they're bikes that they're competitive. You're running the exact same suspension company as the great Ken Roczen. So that's also gotta be, gives you some peace of mind as well. Things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing. It's like, even when I went to Kevin's program, like, I told him, like, hey, like, I want to use REP suspension. Like, I've had a lot of good luck with Mark in the past, and we work well together. And so that was something I've been with for a while. And yeah, everything we put together was really nice. And the bike ultimately, from like Kevin's bike to my bike, because I rode his bike obviously all the way up until December, is not much different. Like, the gas definitely is a little bit different. It feels a little bit more stiff. So we've had to kind of adjust some things from that. But we've made it work, and we're getting, like I said, we're getting better and better and better with the bike. And, I don't know, man, it's just a lot of fun. Like, I've just been enjoying it a little bit more this year than I have in the past. And, that field is stacked right now, man. It's not easy, at all, but we're doing our best out there. And, yeah, like I said, I'm not going to say we're back in the main. We only made one, but, that's definitely, we still have double the points that we had last year. So I'll take it.
There you go. rolling into a place like Detroit, privateer pits, leaves a little bit to be desired. Fans aren't able to interact with you guys the way maybe you'd like to, although that can also allow you to sort of lock in and just focus specifically on the racing itself. Just so you know, the temperatures in Detroit this weekend look to be frigid. So maybe bring an extra couple of jackets, maybe a pair of long johns, some base layer stuff. I don't know if Alias has any of that stuff to keep you warm, but, like I said, like you've been at this for quite some time. It's been a long time since you were, national number 99. And, this was back when they actually went up into the peristyle or into the crowd, came back down. And like I said, you kissed the floor of Ford Field, like no tomorrow. That was still Ford Field back in the day, right?
I think so. Yeah, we were still in that same place. Stadium. But yeah, that one
is that 10 years ago.
That
now?
One hurt. What year was that? That was 2014. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
10 years. Yeah, that one. That was bad. That one hurt pretty dang bad.
Because that was a tough block, basically pulls the front end out from in front of you, and you just swan dive to the floor.
No, it was the tough block was there, and that's the thing that sucks is the tough block was in the same spot, but like I came down that thing hugging the side because you had to, like with the way that rhythm set up and like how we had to go, and I just looked ahead at the rhythm too much, and I looked down and I was like, dude, I'm headed right at this thing, and it grabbed my brake pedal and just completely folded my brake pedal over the foot peg, but it just shot the bike left like in a swap, and yeah, I sided straight to my face basically. And, that was probably one of the most painful situations I've ever been in, but, we lived to fight another day.
There you go. So what are, obviously you want to put your best foot forward in Detroit. You want to make mains, but like, when you're in those mains, I feel now you have some wind in your sails, or at least some confidence that that's where you should be every single weekend. And sometimes you can say it before you believe it. Now I feel like you actually truly believe it. What are the goals, throughout the rest of the season? Like that is round five. So we have 12 of these to go. If at the end of the season you're in six mains, is that a successful season?
I don't think so. Like, we have 14 rounds left or something like that.
12 rounds.
Somewhere 12 rounds. Yeah. I mean, six wouldn't be successful, to me. There's a long way to go, till we find it successful. I don't know what I will put on the right wording to call it successful. I don't know if it's a certain finish is what I mean. I don't know if it's a certain this or a certain that. I think for now, I think the best thing I can do is just go out there and give it your all the whole time. Right. Like I know that sounds so cliche, but like, as long as I do that, I'll be pretty happy. Because I'm not going to look at the season as I don't know how you word it, but like a per, or an overall, like I think I need to go per round no matter what right now. So yeah, for now, I think if I just go out there and do my job, you know, and put it in the main and then, you know, push my heart out for 20 minutes, we'll be good. I think that'll be successful. But if I go out there and I just mope around, I don't think it's very successful, even if I'm making the mains.
Right. I think that harkens back to maybe some quotes from a couple of those great outdoors videos from back in the day, guys like Kyle Lewis, guys like John Dowd, sort of like, and I'm not to say that you're in the twilight of career, but you're more of your career is behind you than it is ahead of you at this point. And they both sort of echoed the fact that like, it doesn't necessarily matter what the result says. Of course, results do matter, but, you know damn well if you rode to your potential and if you rode the way you know how to ride. And I guess the message from that is, if Justin Starling is able to pull out of the stadium at the end of a weekend and said, we did all we could and I rode as best that I know I'm capable of, that's a win.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. Like I said, I don't think that there's an overall goal to make it a successful week or a successful season, but I think if you're leaving each round you know, in the main with something positive out of it, then yeah, there's success there. So yeah, I just, right now it's, we've gotten only one. So I need, obviously that's, we got a long way to go. But Detroit's always been good to me. So we'll, yeah, we'll put our best foot forward here and, give it our all, you know, we'll sleep on the plane home.
I like it. I know you've got a ton of great support. What is something that, is like you've currently like, man, I wish I had a blank sponsor or man, paying for blank is getting really expensive. I wish I had, like sort of some support in this specific area, either whether it's week to week or, whether it's at the races. I think there's some expenses baked into the pie that a lot of fans are not sort of really aware of, something that you can't really get an industry sponsor for.
Hotels maybe.
Okay.
A hotel sponsor would be pretty cool. I mean, OnlyFans really helps with that, but, I mean, yeah, me and Dylan are staying in a $50 hotel room this weekend. So maybe like a nice hotel sponsor would be pretty sweet. Cause those, I mean, flights obviously add up, right? Like those can get a little expensive, but, the hotels seem to, those seem to fluctuate pretty hard, you know? So
yeah,
it'd be nice to have some sort of hotel sponsor.
For certain. And yeah, it's not like the Nationals where you might be able to find, a small town near Unadilla or New Berlin, New York, or, near Millville where there's, yeah, like $40 a night, hotels. Like you guys are going downtown, Detroit or Tampa or, Daytona during bike week. And like the hotels
are. Well, luckily
aren't what
Daytona,
they are.
my parents still live there. So I'm staying at their house for Daytona.
Perfect.
It's all about 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. And then, Tampa, yeah, I was at home cause it's 17 miles, but, yeah, it's like this weekend, like we're staying out by the airport. I tried to find a flight to fly out Saturday night after the race. Cause I think we're done around 5:00.
Oh yeah.
But flights were just outrageous. So I'm flying out at 5 AM now on Sunday. So yeah, we're just trying to find something that's easy. And at the end of the day, right? Like you're not really in your hotel room besides the sleep. Like you're at the track for a while, then you go eat dinner, then you go to sleep. And the next morning you go to the track, you're there all day, and then you come back, you take a shower, you go to dinner, and you come back, you go to sleep. So it's don't need anything crazy, but you definitely don't want to stay in something too janky.
For sure. We already talked about earlier in the pod that you've been doing this well over 10 years, indoors, outdoors, everything else in between. Like you've had a ton of different rides, a ton of different things kind of come together for you. What do you have like an all timer, like that was the worst hotel experience of all time?
Yeah, we went to, what was it? I think Arlington in 20, I remember it was 22 or 23. Remember the hotel was so bad that we left, we went and got a refund. And that was the first time I've ever done that. Cause usually I'm just like, ah, we can make it work. Like, I'm not going to sit here and stress about it, you know, let's just deal with it. And, yeah, that was the first one where I was like, nah, dude, let's get out of here. This is not okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I stayed at a Days Inn in Riverside, California one time. And I don't feel like I slept soundly that night because of the activities out and around as well as in the room itself. There was a lot of burn marks, a lot of, perhaps like they, I think it was fireworks, but I don't think it was fireworks. You know what I
mean? Yeah, yeah, I got you. I've been there, done that. I can fully relate.
Yeah, it's just like you're thinking to yourself, I'm like, is this what I chose for myself? Is this what's actually happening right now? But
yeah, the first few races I was staying with Dominic Thury, we were just sharing hotel rooms and not. A couple of times, I mean, it just cuts the cost down, right? Like,
of course.
just to make it a little bit more affordable. But there was a couple of times I'm like, dude, we're splitting hotel rooms. I'm still spending like $280 with you because you're getting these crazy nice hotels. Like, we can back her down a bit. But I think if I told him this weekend that our hotel was $50 a night, he'd be like, dude, I'm not staying there.
Yeah, no, he's probably looking up the DoubleTree by Hilton, and those are definitely not $50 a night. What do you remember about your first ever Supercross that you like, even if you didn't make the main, What do you remember about the first time that Justin Starling showed up to a Supercross event, still wet behind the ears, eyes full of Christmas and optimism? Like, not to say that you're begrudging now, but there was a time that you had never done this before. What was that like?
This is an easy one because this was Atlanta Supercross in 2012, and I was meant to ride for what was that, Arma Energy Suzuki City.
Oh God!
And the team folded like right before the season, and I was like, dude, I got no bike, like I got nothing, like I got pretty screwed. And I got a feeling on it was a KTM.
That's right, you were a Dragon Suzuki Fuels guy growing up. Like, you rode Hondas a bit too. Yeah, but you were a Suzuki guy. Yeah,
I was Suzuki. So I got a fill-in spot on Dragon Fuels KTM, and the first time I rode the bike was Atlanta Supercross, and that was the first time I rode a KTM. Like, it was just like, if it could go south, man, like, we were going south. And
is that Link KTM or no Link KTM?
No, I had a Link.
You had a Link by 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't terrible, but it just was, you know, like the whole time I'm changing bars and doing this and changing this. And I'm like, dude, I can't get comfortable, you know, like, I don't know what to do. Like, what bar bends do you guys have? Cause I'm struggling, you know, just a lot of little things like that. But it was a heck of a night. I sucked. I was not good at all. And then the next week I had to ride the bike quite a bit and then went to Daytona and I made the main. So I was like, okay, like we're okay. But, first Supercross did not go well, but, it was fun. It was a big learning experience. So yeah, I take it and we'll run with it.
There you go. Live the tale of tale, and a whole lot kind of came there afterwards. Justin, always a pleasure, man. I know you got some dad duties to get back to, so we'll let you get back to that, but not before. I know you've got an impressive list of sponsors. It seems to grow by the month. I always get somebody else in your corner backing you. So give those sponsors some love for you. I'll let you get on with the rest of your night.
Man, there's such a long list, but like I'll keep it pretty short and sweet. But like, man, OnlyFans stepping up was huge, and I'm super thankful to have their support. Without them, like, it would be very difficult to even really consider doing anything this year. And then Motoist, man, like those guys over there, and you know, Dylan's actually sitting here behind me. He always is kind of like in the background here, and he doesn't really get recognition like he should. But
lurking.
I'd say Dylan and Justin are two, and then we have Anthony and all that. Just a bunch of dudes that just really stepped up big and made this all happen. So it's those are the big ones, and then there's a bunch of team sponsors and everything. But to really give them recognition, you gotta give it up to OnlyFans and MotoWips.
100%, and like maybe the most supportive wife of all time.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She still lets me race, so I can't really complain, right?
No, there's no complaining allowed, even if you had something to complain about. Justin Starling here on the Big MX Radio Podcast. My friend, don't hang up just yet, but for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.